first century church in the 21st century. Can such a thing exist? I certainly hope so. A preacher went to an autumn Saturday football game in the 1950s. It was the annual Red River Shootout between Oklahoma and Texas, which is set around the Texas State Fair at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Texas. Seated right there, square in front of the preacher, was an Oklahoma fan. In all of that whole side of Texas fans, there he was. And this was in the days of Bud Wilkinson, when his Oklahoma Sooners were in the midst of their record-setting 47-game winning streak. And he stood right there in front of that preacher. He stood up and in front of all those Texans, and he held up a $100 bill. And he said, "All you Texans, I'll give you 7 points and I'll bet you this $100 bill that we beat you." Now, I'm not for gambling, folks. Please, amen. See the illustration. He didn't have any takers. A little while longer, he stood up and he said, "All you Texans, I'll give you 14 points and I'll bet you this $100 bill that we beat you." Nobody took him up. After a little while, he stood up again and said, "All you Texans, I'll give you 21 points and I'll bet you this $100 bill that we beat you." He didn't have any takers, and he sat down right there in front of that preacher. And that preacher leaned over to him and said, "Man, I'd like to have you in my church." He said, "You believe in your team and you put your money where your mouth is. I'd like to have you in my church. You believe some things." It's like the fellow I heard, the old, sweet old man who got married at the age of 87, Brother Leonard, and immediately began to look for a larger home next to an elementary school. Amen. Hey, that's belief right there. Praise God. That's somebody that believes some things. I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the first century church believes some things. They believed some things. Go back to Luke and look at it with me. The very first verse that we look at in Luke. Oh, and if you know anything about the Bible writers, the book of Luke was written, of course, by Luke, but so was the book of Acts, amen, written by the physician Luke, of course, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 1, verse 1 says, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most assuredly what? Believed." Amen. Believed amongst us. Look down at verse 3. "It seemed good to me also, having perfect understanding of all things of the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus." So here's Luke. And he's writing about what Jesus did. And he's writing to this person, Theophilus. If you go over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. You see that name again. Verse 1. "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus," which by the way means friend of God, "both to do and teach until the day that he was taken up. After that, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." This person, Theophilus, this love letter continues from Luke to Acts, and it talks about the things which are most surely believed among us. We believe some things. You read Acts chapter 2, and we find, I believe, you have the birth of the church. The church is born here in Acts chapter 2, and it comes to be, and we see that first century church in action all the way through the book of Acts. Moving, doing something for God, amen. Not passive, not sitting. By the way, when they did sit, God brought persecution. Amen. When they got comfortable with their 8,000 people saved, and I don't know how you can get comfortable with 8,000 people saved, amen. I'd be a nervous wreck, amen. 8,000 people saved. When they got comfortable, God brought persecution and spread them out. And the gospel went all over the world because of that. They believed some things. They believed some things. You know what the difference between the church in the first century and the church in the 21st century is? They believed with their heart. We believe with our heads. You know, it's a big difference between believing something with your head and believing it in your heart. There's a big difference. Somebody said 18 inches is the difference between heaven and hell, from here to here. From here to here. From your head to your heart. Oh, I think about the book of Judges. I think about how it says in chapter number 2 of Judges, in verse number 10, it talks about also all that generation that were gathered unto their fathers. That was talking about Joshua's generation, that generation that had seen the miracles, they'd seen God do incredible things. Then it says this, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done in Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. You know, every church, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, I'm so thankful for this when I think about our church, when I think about the structure of our church, and I don't mean the pastor and the deacons, and I'm talking about the structure of our church. Thank God we have families in their 20s in our church. And thank God we have families in their 30s in our church. And thank God we have families in our 40s in our church. And families in their 50s and 60s. Because every church is one generation away from extinction. One generation away from complete. It happens every day. Over 1,000 churches a day close up their doors. It's the difference. I like what Philip said. He said this. In the first generation, speaking of Christianity, in the first generation, conviction rules. Truth dearly bought is defended to the death. Amen? That's what they did in the first century. When Rome came along and said, you either deny Christ or die. They said, I'll die! I'll die rather than deny Christ. But then, after the first generation, comes the second generation. The second generation, conviction degenerates into mere belief. People raised in the great truths they have been taught believe them and will argue for them, but the passion and power is gone. And haven't we seen that through the years, ladies and gentlemen? Haven't we seen that through the years of people that were raised right? Come on, church. That were raised right. And brought to church, and they went to Sunday school, and they tried to encourage towards spiritual things, and they believe them, and they might argue for them, but they don't live in the power of the Spirit. And then comes the third generation. See, that first generation, conviction rules. The second generation, yeah, I believe some things. Third generation, belief becomes opinion, and opinions are easily changed. Amen? Amen? What's the difference between the first century church? How can we? We're a 21st century church. By the way, I'm glad. I'm glad when I look at our gospel tracts, we're a 21st century church. Amen? I've been in some churches that I thought, those are first century gospel tracts. Amen? They literally, probably from the first century. Amen? They're on parchment. They're scrolls. They need to upgrade their literature. Listen, I'm glad we have a website. Praise God, Brother Steve. I'm glad for a sound system. Amen. I'm glad for a portable sound. I'm glad for all those things. I'm glad for heat and air conditioning. Amen. He's like, Pastor, we don't want to go back to the first century there. Amen. No. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about believing some things. Listen to me. Really believing them to the point where they move us to action. Like that preacher said of that Oklahoma fan and his $100 bill, you really believe some things. Boy, they ought to say that about us. We don't have to be ugly. And by the way, you don't have to go up to your coworker and say, my pastor yelled, so I'm going to yell. Amen. This is a pulpit. Amen. It's a little different. Amen. We believe some things. The first century church in the 21st century. Let's look at some of the things that the first century church believed. First of all, number one, if you go to Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Acts 1:1. I've got 7 points and a lot of sub-points, Brother Hendershot. Amen. Look what it says in verse 1 of Acts chapter 1. See the first thing that they believed. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that who? Jesus. Boy, that's a sweet name, isn't it? Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name. That is just the reason I love Him so, for Jesus is the sweetest name I know. You know what they believed in, number one? Jesus Christ. They believed in Jesus Christ. I just have a few things here. They believed in His deity. It says in Acts chapter 9, verse 20, that Paul was preaching and he was persuading them that He is the Son of God. You remember, Brother Tom, when the Ethiopian eunuch was baptized, at least if you've got a King James Bible, it tells you how what he was baptized, what he said. He said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And He is, ladies and gentlemen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is that wonderful Counselor. He's the everlasting Father. Amen. He's God in the flesh. Amen. They believed in His deity. They believed in His miracles. If you look over just a page, look at chapter 2, verse 22. It says, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by Him. You know, one of the most awful movements out of so-called Christianity is the movement in the early 20th century of modernism. Modernism. I heard the story of a preacher, a good, godly man of God. And he told the story of being on a television program you ladies know I'm not against you. Please know that. My mom's a woman. My wife's a woman. My daughter's a woman. I'm half woman. Amen. I just don't know which half. Amen. He was sitting there, him and another brother, and he was sitting there with a Methodist woman preacher.
Oh, no.
Right. From the Methodist seminary. Actually, taught Brother Apple at the Methodist Seminary, Perkins Cemetery. And they asked her what she thought of the Word of God. Now listen, folks, seminary professor, and here it comes. She said, Bible word. She used the Bible word. I don't recommend you make it a regular part of your vocabulary. She said, the bastard heresy of the 20th century is that the Bible is the Word of God. Can you imagine such a thing, ladies and gentlemen? It's time for you to get out of the cemetery and go sell cars.
Amen.
My heavens. Listen, the Bible says that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. So you know what I believe?
Jonah
was swallowed by a whale. I like what the other preacher said. If the Bible had said that Jonah had swallowed the whale, I'd believe that. Amen? Listen, Jesus did miracles. You know what the modernists will say? No, He didn't. No, He didn't. The modernists will tell you when Jesus walked on water that He knew where the rocks were. And so He just... That's utter foolishness, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to tell you something right there. They believed in His miracles, and so do we.
Amen.
He believed that first century church, they believed in Jesus Christ. They believed in His deity. They believed in His miracles. They believed in His crucifixion. You're in chapter 2. Look at verse 23. Just one verse over. Speaking of Jesus here, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands and have what? Crucified and slain. They believed that Jesus Christ died on the cross. They were eyewitnesses to it. Amen. They believed in His crucifixion. They believed that He was the Lamb of God who had to suffer to pay for the sins of all the world of all time. Amen. We believe that. We believe that. Amen. We believe that. Believes in His crucifixion, and praise God for this. Look at verse 24. They didn't just believe in His death. They didn't just believe in His crucifixion. They believed in His resurrection too, didn't they? Look what it says. Whom God hath raised up. Take that, modernist. Take that. Take that. By the way, one day you're going to have to deal with that, modernist. Amen. Going to have to deal with that. He hath been raised from the dead. Amen. With power, Romans says. Thank God. They believed in Jesus Christ. Believed in His deity. Believed in His miracles. Believed in His crucifixion. Believed in His... Oh, I could go on. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I could preach from here till Sunday night about what they believed about Jesus. Number two. Back to Acts chapter 1, probably a page back. Look at verse 14. I want Loomis Park Baptist Church to be a first century church in the 21st century. I want us to be. We believe in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Secondly, look at verse 14. It says, these all continued with one accord in prayer. Prayer. They believed in prayer. They believed in prayer. Oh, you could look through the book of Acts, and we don't have time. I'll throw them at you. Amen. They prayed in chapter 1, verses 15 through 26. They prayed for guidance. In chapter 4, verse 23 and 31, they prayed for courage. In chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, they prayed for deliverance. You remember Peter was chained in prison, amen, and they prayed that he'd be delivered. And in Acts chapter 13 and 14, they prayed for missionaries, amen. They believed in prayer. They believed when they humbled themselves, when they confessed their sins, that God heard them.
Amen.
By the way, modernists can't believe that. I should say this, modernists won't believe that because they don't believe the Bible. See, the Bible promises us, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. It tells us in 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That's prayer. Praying. The Bible says, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For he that asketh, receiveth. That's prayer, ladies and gentlemen. Prayer is not just something we do for 10 minutes on Wednesday nights.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, if we really believe in prayer, we do it every day. Because it moves the very hand of God.
It sure does.
They believed in prayer. They really believed in it. So much so that Peter got released, didn't he? So much so, Brother Horsch, when they prayed for courage, that the place was shaken and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the Word of God with boldness. Because God answered their prayer. Because they believed. They believed in prayer. They believed in prayer. They believed in Jesus Christ. Thirdly, look at your Bibles with me. Look at, oh, and we could go on and on and on and on, but look at Acts chapter 3, verse 20. And literally, I have so many references on these. I'm just going to throw them at you. And if you're a fast writer, you can write them down. If you're not, you can listen to the website. Amen. Acts chapter 3, look at verse number 20. It says, and He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Chapter 4, verse 2, chapter 8, verse 5, chapter 8, verse 35, chapter 8, verse 40, chapter 9, verse 20, chapter 9, verse 27, chapter 13, verse 5, chapter 13, verse 38, 14, verse 7, 14, verse 21, 14, verse 25, 15, verse 36, 17, verse 18, 20, verse 7 says they believe in preaching. Preaching. I had somebody kindly ask me. They weren't being ugly. They weren't being unkind. They were kindly asking me. They said, do you do skits at your church? Do you do skits? I said, well, sometimes we have a youth rally. We'll do a skit or two. I said, but by and large, we're a church. We sing and praise God, and we believe in preaching. Preaching Christ crucified, risen again, and coming in the clouds. Amen. Preaching. Paul said, preach the word. Oh, how important it is. I like preachers. I like all kinds of different preachers. I like good preachers, bad preachers, long preachers, short preachers, fat preachers, skinny preachers. I love preachers. Amen. I love to hear preaching. But I'll tell you what I love more than anything else, Brother Holy. I love it when a man of God just preaches the Word of God.
Amen.
Listen, I'm all for proper illustrations. I'm for that. It's good. It helps people. It drives points home. I use them. But I think it was Vance Havner said, some preachers' sermons are story after story after story, and they're about seven stories too high. Amen? Preach the Word. Preaching ought to be scriptural. You study the book of Acts, and the sermons that they preached, they were scriptural sermons. Look at Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Look at Peter in Acts chapter 2, preaching right out of Joel. Right out of Joel, preaching the Word. They were scriptural sermons. They were salvational sermons. You're in Acts, look at chapter 2, verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. They preach salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 tells us. They were scripture. They were salvational. You know what else they were? They were stirring. Verse 37, chapter 2. Now when they heard this, what did they hear? Peter preaching. They heard Peter's preaching. They were pricked in their heart. And said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? By the way, preaching doesn't have to be loud to be stirring. But don't be mad at loud preaching. Because if you do, you're in trouble. Oh, I think the Bible says that a preacher should lift up his voice like a trumpet. Cry aloud and spare not, it says. Cry aloud.
Cry aloud.
No. Cry aloud! Amen.
Amen.
Get out of the house! It's on fire! Amen. Well, get out of the house, sweetie. The house is burned down. No. Preaching. Amen. Preaching! They believed in preaching. Preaching. Prayer. Jesus Christ. Oh, in chapter 4. Oh, go back. You're in chapter 2. Look at verses 44 and 45. It says, and all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. You know what they believed in? They believed in sacrificial giving. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is not an endorsement of communism. Oh my goodness. People take the Bible and twist it around. Paul gave us instruction in the epistles. Always remember about the book of Acts, it's a transitional book. From the Gospels to the Epistles, the doctrine of the church is found in the Epistles. Paul tells us about the giving. Now concerning the collection of the saints, I write unto you that what? Every Lord's Day, amen, you bring it into the storehouse. Paul told us all that. So it's not telling us to just, but it is telling us that they believed in sacrificing. They believe in sacrifice. I don't have to preach long on this at all. I see our offerings. I see when we do a project. By the way, one that's coming around the bend, folks, is these precious pews that we have. Need to be reupholstered.
Amen.
I'm going to remember all those amens when I ask for the sacrificial card. Amen. Mrs. Holy just held up her cushion. Oh, mercy. Whoever said you can't have fun in church never came to this church, did they, folks? Amen. You know what? They understood the importance of sacrifice. They understood sacrificial giving. Giving till it hurts and then keep giving till it feels good. That's you sum up sacrificial giving. I mean just listen. Nobody hears well done and thou good and faithful servant who doesn't sacrifice. Nobody. You sacrifice and give to missions, I'll guarantee you something. You will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Jesus said of the widow who threw her two mites in there that her name would be spoken of a memorial for her. And we're still talking about her, aren't we? Sacrificial giving. Preaching, prayer, Jesus Christ. Oh, go over to Acts chapter 5, verse 42. Acts 5:42. I'll be right on time here. I've got a few more points. And just look at it, church. It says there, it says, "And daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Jump over to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, quickly. Amen. And we're moving. Verse number 35, and you know the story here is the Ethiopian eunuch, and the Holy Spirit has told Philip to go to them and to meet him. And he says there in verse 35, you remember he was reading Isaiah and he didn't understand it. And he said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" In verse 31, then you go down to verse 35, "Then Philip opened up his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." You know what they believed in? Witnessing. Witnessing. Folks, when's the last time you shared Christ with somebody? When's the last time? When's the last time you opened your mouth and said, "Has anyone ever told you about Jesus Christ and what He did for you?" You may even say it this way, Brother Lowell, you may say, "Let me tell you what He did for me." Let me tell, that's a way to witness. A way to witness, Brother Jeff, is when somebody asks you, "How you doing today?" And Brother Jeff always says, "Better than I deserve." Why? Because I'm a Christian. Because I'm saved. Yeah. Because I'm a child of the... ladies and gentlemen, witnessing was part of who the first century church was. It wasn't something they did. It was who they were.
That's right.
They were witnesses everywhere they went. Oh, I think about that in my own life, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to tell you, if there's something we fail God on more and more and more, and something we need to repent of, it's not witnessing. So you need to repent of not witnessing? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You need to ask God for boldness and power and ask Him to fill your lips with the words to say. Because why? Because people are dying and going to hell. This is the most serious of all business. It's Father's business. Amen? They witnessed. They believed in witnessing. They didn't talk about witnessing. They witnessed. Amen? They witnessed. Witnessing, giving, preaching, prayer, Jesus Christ. Number 6, back to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Can I tell you something that the early church believed in? Was gathering. They believed in gathering. They believed in having church. They believed in having church. Paul would tell us later in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is." By the way, that's a some I don't want to be part of. "As the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching." I've said it so many times, it sounds like a broken record. By the way, young people don't even know what that means. Amen. I just feel old now. Amen. A broken record. Just used to keep skipping. What is it? What is it skipping on? It's not time for less church. It's time for more church. Because the day is fast approaching. By the way, I'm praising you this week. I don't know if you took time to look at that bulletin. We always put our numbers in here. And we don't put it to flaunt. We do it to edify. And let me just tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Last week we had 154 in Sunday school. That is a wonderful number. Now, listen, and yet there is room. There's room for more. It's not our four and no more. Amen. But then, we had 191 on Sunday morning. I think we're a little over that today. We had 129 back on Sunday night. We had 154 here on Wednesday night. Is that right? Did I get that right? 149. Where were five of you? Amen? 149 on a Wednesday night! Why? Because it's important to gather. Listen, some of you could say amen to this. Times that you have stayed away from church. Maybe you got miffed at somebody. You got upset at somebody. Somebody rubbed, and you just stayed away. And I'll guarantee you what else you did, you strayed away. Because God designed, we are a body. We are a body. And you can't just pull the finger off and then sew it back on every 6 months. Amen. You come, you're part. You're part. You're, listen to me, you're an important part of this church. Brother Josh, you work a lot, but you're here when you can be. You're an important part of this church. Miss Marge, you're an important part of this church. Amen. Miss Judy, you're an important part of this church. Miss Carol Ann, you're an important part of this. And Miss Katie and Brother Lem, you guys are an important part of this church. Important! We gather together. We believe in gathering. We draw strength from one another. We encourage one another. Some of you are taking a beating in the world. I mean, you got that ungodly co-worker and he is just wearing you out. And you need strength. And you need your brothers and sisters to encourage you. By the way, let's be about the encouraging business, brothers and sisters. You see somebody with a long face, don't go up to them and say, "What's wrong with you?" Was it Deke this morning? Such a blessing to his father-in-law. What's your problem? Amen? He had a flat tire for the second week in a row. You'd think he had a mechanic for a son-in-law. Amen? Oh, hey, you know what? They didn't just gather and sing Kumbaya. They gathered for teaching. Amen? That's what it says. Acts chapter 11 says they taught him the word. They gathered for worship. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's what we try to do here. They gathered for fellowship and they continued with one accord in fellowship and breaking of bread and the apostles' doctrine. Acts chapter 2 verse 42. And they gathered for edification. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 tells us to edify one another. Let me give you the last thing. They believed in gathering. They believe in witnessing, they believe in giving, they believe in preaching, they believe in prayer, they believe in Jesus Christ. Lastly, go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, please, and we'll be done, I promise. Somebody said the biggest lie that's ever been told in man was when the preacher says, "I'm closing with this." Amen. I think of your Uncle John, Miss Katie. Amen. I'm closing with this. That means he's closing his Bible and he's going to preach for another 45 minutes. Amen. Not here. The chicken's in the oven. Amen. We got the plane up and the wheels are down and we're ready to bring her down right here. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." He's talking to Christians here. He says, "with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering and forbearing one another in love." Oh my. That solved a lot of church fights. All of that. Lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. And then it says this, "endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." They believed in unity, ladies and gentlemen. Because of all these other things they believed. They believed in Christ, believed in prayer, preaching, giving, witnessing, gathering. They believed in unity. Not unanimity. Which is just, "Oh, let's just gather together." That's the promise keeper stuff of the 90s. Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. No. Our unity is based on doctrine. By the way, if you read verse 4, "there is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called, a hope, one calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." That's amen. That's unity. But unity was driven by right living in verse 1. Walk worthy. Church, you want to be a first century church in the 21st century? Vance Havner has a book called "Why Not Just Be Christians?" That's a great thought. Why not just be Christians? Christ-like. Amen. Little Christs. Amen. Right living. Secondly, a right attitude. Verse 2. Lowliness, meekness. Listen, there's going to be somebody in this church, probably yours truly, who is going to get under your skin and bother you. As the old Foghorn Leghorn said, that boy's like a tattoo. He gets under your skin. Amen. I fully confess, 2/3 of the preaching ministry is negative. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I try to do a lot of the third, but I'm commanded to do the first and the second too. So I am going to rub you the wrong way. I guarantee it. And so will somebody else. Love them. Love your pastor.
Amen.
Thank you. Is pastor appreciating for months still going on? Amen. Why? The reason 1,000 churches a day close is there's no unity. People have to have their way. I got to tell this person about this, and I'm going to go tell them and give them a piece of my mind. Trust me, you may not be able to spare some. You know, you run out quick, Brother Merrill said. And I'm just going to let them know how I feel. I'm going to tell them, Brother Ken, how I feel. Heard Brother Hiles years ago say, somebody came to him and says, I'm just going to speak my mind, Brother Hiles said. You better be glad I don't. Unity. That's unity. Only by pride cometh contention. Only. Proverbs 13:10. Show me somebody with contention all around them and trouble brewing and storming and bubbling, and I'll show you somebody that's full of pride. Full of it. Ladies and gentlemen, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, pride's nowhere near that. We've got to be unified. You know why? I'm going to tell you something. The world is going to be knocking on the church's door pretty soon. They already are. They already are. And if we're not together, Jesus was the one who said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. We've got to have unity. You know what that means? You may not get your way. You may have to, oh heaven help me. You may have to close your mouth. That'd be a good thing. That'd be a good thing. Unity. Unity. They believed in unity. It was all based on doctrine. First and foremost, amen. Right doctrine, right living, right attitude, and right focus. You know what the right focus is? It's found in 1 Corinthians 13. When I look at Uncle Joe, when I look at Brother Ewald, when I look at Brother Wright, when I look at Miss Teal, when I look at Brandon Hazelsworth, when I look at Brother Kelly, I'll tell you, the Bible says this, charity thinketh no evil.
Amen.
My wife's not here today. Well, she must be slacking. She's not in church. That's not unity.
No.
Unity is, wow, she sings in the choir, teaches a Sunday school, and does Mighty Church. She must be sick.
Amen.
When Brandon, when you're not here, you know what I think? You're working.
Yeah.
Amen? I don't think, well, where's Brandon?
Yeah.
See, that's the difference between a church where there's division and there's unity. It's love. It's the right focus. May we have, listen, let's be a first century church in the 21st century. Amen? We believe some things. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in prayer. We believe in preaching. Amen. We believe in sacrificial giving. We believe in witnessing. We believe in gathering. We believe in unity. Now let's practice it. Did you happen to notice? It's amazing how God does this. Did you happen to notice the verse on the bulletin? It's okay if you say no, because I never do either. That's terrible. Miss Kim does the bulletin. Amen. Blame her. Did you happen to notice that verse? Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever heareth of these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. and the floods came, and the rains came, and the floods came, floods went up, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. See, it's not just enough to believe it here. Let's believe it here and let it translate to here, walking for God. Father, we love you. Thank you for your blessing.